Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It's now time for a very finished edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by, or in this case, drive on by. They don't get in the turret seat. They don't get in. Does anyone realistically like to ride shotgun in a Halo Warthog?
I love riding shotgun, actually, because the AI does turrets better than we do.
I don't know about that. Well,
it's sure. Well, better than you for sure.
Wow. Wow. That's harsh. And by me, I am Corey, and I'm joined by the magic of the internet with the magic of RTX voice, Basher.
Do you hear that? I'm typing right now, but you can't hear a thing. RTX voice, sponsored by, is, by the way.
Can I get like a 2080? I got a 2060, but that 2080 is a little too much. It's like the price of my first car for a GPU. I'm good. I don't need that many rays. I only need like a quarter of the rays, and I need them
just
to be
a few
traced.
Rays.
Just a few rays. On this episode, we're going to be talking about Halo 3. But before that, I guess we have to address the elephant in the room. The whole reason we were doing these Halo games, and another reason why we were doing Halo 2 and 3 back to back, was Halo Infinite's. I can't say Infinite's. That just sounds wrong. Infinite's. Is that because it's Halo Infinite, but Infinite's doesn't sound like a real word. Doesn't sound like a real word. Is that a real word?
Is Halo Infinite, right?
Right, but is infinites like as in possessive?
No, you just made that up. Can you do that?
I don't.
A thing can't be possessive, can it? I have no idea.
Yeah, it can.
How does the English language work again?
Halo Infinite had a release date move. So originally it was supposed to be a Xbox Series X and presumably Xbox Series S launch title, but Microsoft has delayed that video game, very surprisingly, I might add. So we were running out of time, but now not only has it been delayed into 2021, but we don't know when in 2021. So this episode is going to end up coming out a lot earlier than expected, but it was on the schedule and we had finished this game. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So before we get to that, as always, I'm going to beg you. So if you can give us a rating on iTunes, that'd be fantastic. Or any podcast service that you're using. If you're listening on Spotify, you know, Spotify doesn't have any ranking, but tell your friends about us on Spotify because we are everywhere. And with that, let's get to Halo 3. Let's go over the details. This game was developed by Bungie. You might have heard of them, known for the Halo series as well as Halo. I just said Halo twice, didn't I? As Destiny, that's the other one. That's what I'm trying to say. Destiny,
okay, that makes
is the
way
other
more
game
sense.
That they are known for. Do we like Destiny?
That first game could die in a fire. Destiny 2, it has enough legs to warrant a purchase. I put it that way.
Expansions coming to Game Pass soon.
What?
This is a first-person shooter priced at $9.99, but is also part of the Halo Master Chief Collection, which is available on PC and Xbox One. At this time, there is no cross-play, but that supposedly is coming along with cross-save before the end of the year. It does have Xbox One X support, runs at 4K and 60 frames per second on that console. It runs at 1080p, 60 frames on the Xbox One, and features HDR on the Xbox One X as well as Xbox One S. So if you're out there, if you got that Xbox One X, that whisper quiet Xbox One X with its 6 teraflops of GPU power, you're going to get a nice 60 frames per second.
You should hear how my PlayStation 3 OG sounds. Wait, 4 sounds when it's playing Ghost of Tsushima.
I bet that thing sounds like literally like it's about to take off.
No, I think it's going to catch fire any day now. It's really scary. Like, it's bad.
No, it's, yeah. So I had a Pro, just sold it actually, waiting for that PS5. And Last of Us 2, man, that game, like, it honestly, what drove me nuts was that it wasn't a sustained fan noise. It was constantly ramping up and down. So it's just like an engine, like, and I'm like, no, a fan shouldn't be doing that. It just should not be doing that. So I can only imagine what the PS4 OG sounds like. So, but that's not what this, that is not what this is about. We're going to be talking about Halo 3. We finished the fight.
Game over, guys. We did it.
We did it. It's done. It's over. So I think I'm going to go first this time and say that, coming back to Halo 3 was my Halo game. I think I've talked about this a little bit when we've been talking about the other games, but I came to the Xbox late. I didn't really get into the ecosystem. I had an original Xbox at the end of the life cycle. It was one of those things where I went to my local game store, and it was before the 360 was coming out, and they were trying to get rid of them. They literally had them for like $50. And I was like, I never had an Xbox. I'll give it a shot. So I did. I picked up the Halo games with it, but I actually never played Xbox Live or played games on console until the Xbox 360. So my exposure was only to the campaigns, really. We did some system link here and there, but so while I understood the Halo and Halo 2 stuff, it didn't grab me. It was not the games that got me. But Halo 3, on the other hand, I was in. I had been playing online. I had been exposed to the Xbox Live ecosystem, and I bought into the hype. I bought that game release day. I literally bought some friends and I. We bought, I think it was like 15 or 18 or something, 12 packs of Game Fuel to where it was weighing down the back of my car when we were leaving that Walmart. And we played Halo 3. We skipped school and we played Halo 3 to completion. And then we continued to play it for months on end. So this was the Halo game for me, and so I was excited to get back to it and to just check it out. So I'm curious what your feelings are on, the Halo 3 hype.
I don't remember it all that well, to be honest with you. I just remember Halo always having this kind of hype. Well, past CE anyway, Halo always had this kind of hype to it. And for me, again, I think I mentioned this before, Halo 2 was really my baby. And as we said in that show, it really was the multiplayer more than anything. So that Halo 2 multiplayer was my baby, but Halo 3 came out. It was a lot of hype behind it, but I don't remember it too well. I just remember people being super excited for it, me getting my hands on it and going, yeah, it's more Halo. that was kind of it.
Yeah, I think I don't say I don't think that's not fair, but I think there was –
That's not a bad thing, because Halo wasn't bad at the time.
But looking back on it, I think, man, like, I'm trying to think, like, was kind of like the, you know, I can't think of the word, but like Halo 3's launch was kind of one of the, like, the biggest just entertainment releases in a long time. Like, you know, I don't remember any other video game up until that point really having that type of exposure around it, you know, of the Mountain Dew, you know, like, it's a joke now, the Mountain Dew and the Doritos sponsorships, whatever you want to call them, you know, partnerships that they do. That was sort of like the first time to where video games seemed to reach a different culture at some point. Like it was bleeding into other things. But at the same time, I think there was also a lot of people like you. You were excited about it, but it was a little bizarre seeing a video game get so much attention. And I think that's just part of Xbox's reach, you know, or Microsoft's reach, really. You know, Microsoft had that power to really push the advertising, and they basically built the Xbox and the Xbox 360 around that Halo brand. So it was a different time for gaming. And to think, God, that was over 10 years ago now, which is scary. But enough about it, about leading up to it. Let's talk about the game itself and how we think it's aged up until this point.
I think campaign-wise, this is probably on the better end of Halo campaigns for me. It didn't have quite the hey, where do we go aspect of the previous games you played. Because I feel like the others were plagued with that a lot. Whereas this one felt a little bit more, okay, we know we need to go this way, so let's head this way. It's not a lot of, not too much repeated textures, and it felt a little better handled in overall. What do you think?
Compared to the first two games, this game definitely feels like the game that they wanted to make, and it feels like the game that they took their time, they were given enough time, and like you said, because going back and playing all these games, and going back especially playing the first and second one, of those games just feel rushed. And maybe it's just, you know, time has made us more wise to how video games are made, et cetera. But that's stuff that I didn't notice until this most recent playthrough. But Halo 3 from start to finish, while I don't think the game is as long as Halo 1 and 2 in terms of that's a tricky thing, because I think it's just a better made game and it flows better. So therefore it doesn't feel as long. You know, I didn't time us or whatever, but the game feels shorter, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. It feels like a complete game from start to finish. And it feels like it's left behind a lot of that baggage that those first two games had. Like when I remember Halo, I remember the big open levels. I remember the sort of the grand, setting, you know, everything feels big. Everything feels like it's part of something bigger, very grand, large. And Halo 3, I think, is the game that those memories are actually from. You know, this is the game that lives up to that hype and it lives up to that name of Halo. I think it does it better than the first two games. And it's not even close. Like, it's not even a competition when I think about these games. And replaying of Halo 3 is not only the best game, it's by far the best game we've played so far.
I will agree with that. And especially part where it just flows better. A lot of my issues before was basically that, where it was a lot of us kind of walking around in circles and everything looking the same. But it's like you said, like this one, it's like the start of every other chapter. You drop down in a different area. You arrive in a different way. Like it felt more grand. It felt more Halo, honestly. So it was way more vehicle sections, which is, I think, after playing all of this, an underrated portion of Halo. Because as much as I love just the core game, the core shooter mechanics of Halo, I do remember a lot of just riding around a Warthog and just tearing things apart. So there's a lot more of those sections. I do feel like Halo 3 is so far has been the better of the Halos for me.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, like you said, like there's just a lot more of the stuff that you want in it. There's a lot less of those endless hallways, those overlong levels. Like nothing in Halo 3 feels repeated. Nothing feels like it goes on too long. And some levels are longer than others, but it doesn't feel that way. Every level feels exactly as long as it should be. And there's just such variety in the levels. Like the big open levels, even though a lot of them are just kind of big open vistas, there's enough of them to where that even though it's a big level, there are sections to where it sort of forces you into smaller areas and it forces you to adapt and it forces you to sort of play it kind of close quarters and make decisions. And like I think about the you know, I do not know the names of the levels. The only one level that I do know is the Salvo Highway. And that's just such a cool level because while Halo is usually just about big open vistas, this is a huge level, but it's also a very linear level. Like, it's very big, but you're always moving forward on it, and you're on the highway, etc. So it does such a good job of playing to Halo's strengths, which are open vistas and that warthog feeling, along with that more traditional corridor first-person shooter. But it uses each one in its own unique way, whether it's the setting, whether it's what you're doing, sometimes it's both, whether it's sometimes it's enemy variety, whatever it is, it's playing to its strengths. So it's hard to, like, articulate what it does well, because it does everything that you want it to do well. Like, when I say I like Halo, you're like, okay, I know what you're talking about. Like, that's all you need to really know. Like, I know what that involves.
And I'm actually glad I went through and played these again, because my memories of Halo have been merged into one grand experience. So it's kind of hard to tell which one really stood out for me. And it turns out there was kind of like different parts along the way that I was making up to be my Halo experience. That said, like, Halo 2's multiplayer was is still my favorite of the Halos. But when it comes to the campaign, like, this is the one I appreciate the most so far. And that's coming from someone who still doesn't like the campaign, plot-wise anyway. Because the plot of this one now is, there's a new ring now, and
kind of, but yes,
right, kind of. And then so we have to destroy another ring, but we need Cortana's help, so we gotta go get Cortana. Like, this plot felt better. I feel like it flowed better. It moved better in motion. Like, it never really stopped and said, okay, now let's do this. It was really like a continuous, like, it made more sense of what you were doing, where you're going, why you were doing it. And that's not to say Halo was complicated before. It's just like, the overall point of it is to do this, destroy this ring. How do we do that? We're going to need some help. So you go through, you get the help, and then you destroy the ring, and it just flows so much better than before to me.
Well, and I said this during the Halo 2 talk, of just, Halo 2's got a lot of story in it, especially along with it, but it's mainly story that evolves around the Arbiter, it feels like. And the Arbiter is in this game, but they do a, he's not the focus. You know, they already told that story kind of thing, and he's a character that they can keep in and bring in and sort of add a different layer or different perspective, whatever you want to call it, to it. But this game is still a Master Chief game, you know, whereas the second game is not. Like, the second game is a game that has two different protagonists. And so the fact that it focuses on that, like you said, Halo just isn't a game that needs a deep story. It's just not. And it's not a game that has ever tried to be that, but for whatever reason, and we've talked about this before, again, is that, you know, that's one of those things that fans think they really want. Most of the time, that's not the case, though, because usually when they get that in the games, it ends up being worse, because they're like, well, as we'll get to Halo 5, but I want to hear more about the Chief. But the problem is he's not exactly a deep character. And every time
he shouldn't be.
Right. And every time they've sort of gone into his past, the fans get upset with it. And then if they take him out of the focal spotlight, fans get upset with it. So I think Halo 3 is sort of a good compromise of giving you a little bit more story, wrapping everything up from those first three games, and also sort of giving the Arbiter a good, I won't say send off because that's not the right word, but a good resolution to his story arc, and
not just his, all of his, all the Covenant, really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And
you put it perfectly. It kind of wrapped things up for me in a way where, even though I don't care about it, I can acknowledge that, all right, this is a nice little, you put everything on a nice little bow, but good to go. Like, this is like for a game that, and I make fun of it all the time, that finishes the fight, it felt like you finished the fight. Like, right. It felt like a trilogy of games where it's like, all right, we're done here. Like, you know there's going to be more, obviously, even at the time, but it really did feel like a proper ending to a trilogy, and then we'll see where Chief comes back next.
Right, and it's like the I'm gonna do a deep cut here. Master Chief to me is the Goldberg of video games, to where he shows up and he's got one thing to do, fight. Like, and when he's done, he goes in the background, he goes in his little cryo tube, and you wait until you need him again. Like, that is the Master Chief story. And whenever you try to do something different with that character, it just doesn't work. It never worked for Goldberg, and it's never going to work for Master Chief. So the fact that this game sort of did that is smart. And what I will say is that, to sort of play off what you just said, of it finished everything, and I think we disagree on a few things of Cortana's story.
I hate Cortana and Master Chief's relationship. I'm sorry, I really do. Like, it's so bad. Like, it only because they play it up so seriously.
Do they though?
They really do.
I don't know if it's serious though. Like, to me, it's the unspoken, like,
that's like, gross.
I don't want to call it the Jim and Pam thing.
It's gross. Right. Like for a moment, let's look at Master Chief and who he is. Master Chief is some child soldier who was given his suit. He has no friends. He has no family. His closest connection is some AI thing. And for some reason, the AI is reciprocating that in a way that resembles a love. It's weird that you have this man-child whose only girlfriend is a robot. Like, it's just not right.
It might be because I am one of the, I just shouldn't say the few, because there's not a few, but I am one of the people that have read Fall of Reach, and I know Master Chief on a different level, so I guess I can sort of, I don't want to say relate to him, because that's not the right word, but I can tap more into what I think is going on in his head. And it also sort of reminds me a lot of the movie Her, to where it sounds weird, but at the same time, it's just sort of like,
that's a great movie.
But
part of what made that movie great was the fact that they leaned into what was going on. Like, and they addressed it in a way. Whereas, like, this is like, it's like you said, it's this unspoken thing. It's like, so.
But it's unspoken, but weird. it doesn't need to be spoken. It doesn't need to, like, you understand what's going on, because, and it's not that he's a man child. It's more of just.
See, I don't understand what is going on. That's the problem.
And maybe it's just because my perspective is a little, it's just, you know, the Spartans are, like you said, they're children, and they're sort of thrown into this. Program's not the right word, but I mean, it's the James Bond thing. Like, they find these orphans and they turn them into secret agents, and they become these machines, but they're still human at their core. Master Chief is still human at his core. So he's still, you know, he's got human emotions, and the fact that he's sort of expected to be this super soldier that isn't, you know, he's not supposed to love it. And it's not like Star Wars where it's like, you're not supposed to love, but it's just his goal as a character is to win, to finish the fight. That is his character. And the fact that they're able to interweave or have woven in this sort of unspoken love story, I think is just a nice subtle touch to his character that Bungie understands that 95% of the people that are going to play this game are just like, yeah, I'm Master Chief, I'm going to win, boom, done. But there's that 5% that are just like, you know what? Like, this is a real person. Like, there is a human under there. And while you don't always get to see it at the forefront, I get it. Like, I can identify with it.
You never get to see it at the forefront. Like, that's the thing. Right, exactly. Like, right. You're playing it in this order.
Right.
You never get to see it. So, like, so the Cortana missions are just kind of like,
but see, I
gameplay wise, they're good, but like plot wise, character wise, it's just like, I'm just not relating to you people at all right now.
But I think that's why it's smart, is because even if you're not relating to it, she's still so crucial to the overall plot that without her, it can't be done, kind of thing.
Which is what I appreciate. Again, right. That's part of the storytelling in 3 that works, as opposed to in the previous games where it's like, we got to go do this. It's like, do you really got to do this? Like, I don't like I'm good not doing this. But it's like, this, they made it very clear why Cortana is important, not only to Chief, but to the plot.
Right. And that's, I think that's a, it's not a home run. Like I don't want to oversell this as like a masterpiece of storytelling, but to me, it's some of the best writing in the Halo franchise of just very subtly weaving in emotion along with a ridiculous video game plot, because that's what most video games are, just kind of stupid power trip fantasies kind of thing. So it's something that I appreciate. And like you said, I think it just does it so much better. Like when they tried to do story very serious and critically, I just don't think it works. You know, that's one of my biggest problem with Destiny, especially that first Destiny, is just, it's so like self-serious that I almost like think it's a parody of itself at times, even though it's not. Like, it's not supposed to be a parody at all. But when it just takes itself so freaking seriously, it just loses it for me. I think 3 is the right mix. And I think it's probably Bungie's best written game, in my opinion.
I think it's better mixed. I think the plot is still a little too serious. And I only say that in respects to the gameplay. Like, the gameplay is just too fun, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like playing Halo is just, it's just pure fun factor, just too much fun. Like, you need to do, and I just feel like it's like the Tomb Raider, the Tomb Raider reboot issue, where it's like the gameplay isn't matching the cutscenes for me.
Right.
So it's like, in Halo, I really feel like I'm having so much fun in these warthogs doing these jumps. Like, every time I hit a jump, I'm like, we're yelling out skateboard tricks, and like we pop the head off a grunt and confetti pops out. And it's like, whoa, this is fun. And then it's like the cutscene kicks in. It's like, Chief, we have a problem. It's serious. It's like, oh geez, like, come on, guys. It's not that serious. Like, just let's have some fun here. Let's have some brevity. Like, it's just not. So I'm still having that issue with Halo, but I will agree that so far, this is Bungie's best work plot-wise, I think.
Yeah, and that's let's pivot to gameplay. You know, we've talked about Halo so much at this point, like, it, you know, I don't want to keep reiterating what Halo is. But no, like, I think the gameplay of this game in terms of just, you know, we talked about vistas and stuff, but the actual like gun feel and weapon and vehicle feel and everything, like, there's something just about, like, everything in Halo 3 feels good. Like, the way everything controls, the way that the Warthog slides, the way that the BR reloads, like, the clip sizes of guns. This game feels like it was playtested to death in a good way. And I think that's a key critical function of why Halo 3 is so good, in my opinion, is just that it feels polished in a way that the other two are not. It feels like it was, everything has a purpose kind of thing. Like, no matter what weapon I pick up, there's a reason for it. And what I think about is like the Needler in the second game, you know, the second game had a big thing of dual wielding. It's like any single-handed gun you can dual wield and it's done. And the third game, they made decisions like the Needler is a one-handed weapon, but you cannot dual wield with it because that weapon has a specific purpose and it's a power weapon. Like, the Needler is 100% a power weapon. And the fact that they made that decision deliberately, to me, is just a testament to that everything in this game has a purpose. And it's whether you pick up a sniper rifle, whether you pick up an energy weapon, you're going to use that weapon in the way it's going to change your play style, basically. And that's where, like, it just, when Bungie's firing on all cylinders,
yeah,
the gameplay is just, it's so good. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah,
good.
You're not wrong. I think part of that great feeling for me is a sense of simplicity. I remember in the following Halos, they start getting a little more complex, adding more and more abilities and stuff like that. This to me is like a recipe for food dish that's just really simple, but it's really good. You don't have to add too much to it. You don't have to take too much time with it. It's just really, it just tastes great and it's quick to make. And I feel like that's the feeling I really get with Halo 3 specifically. It just feels very good. It's very simple. It is not like I have to think about hitting this button or doing this combination. It's like, nah, it's just all kind of works. It's like you said, like I can pick up any weapon and keep moving. Whereas I remember in Halo 2, like I was really trying to work that, for lack of a better word, the noob combo. Do you still call it that?
Noob combo. Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the guys I really worked the noob combo. In Halo 3, I'm like, give me any weapon and I'm going to go in and I'm going to make this work. And I feel like it's a testament to the level design as well.
Yeah. I can't really think of any scenario to where we didn't have the tools that we needed to sort of succeed. And again, I think that just goes back to a testament of just that this game feels play tested to death to make sure that no matter what part you are in the game, you're going to have a good time. And I can't think of I'm struggling with words today. I don't know why. The overall just flow and flow's not the right word, but just the moment to moment gameplay of this one feels different than the other two. And it's hard to, because it still plays like a first person shooter though. I don't want it to sound like, oh, this game is not a first person. It's almost like a first person character action game. It's not that. It's still a shooter.
Oh, but no, it is a pure FPS, and that's right. All I wanted for Halo. That's what you get. And I have to stress that part of the reason I feel so positive about this is it worked a lot better technically than the other games.
Yeah, I do want to we need to emphasize that, which is unfortunate because we shouldn't have to emphasize it. But yo, this game works.
I mean, we could have just really started and ended with that. Like, this one works.
Yeah.
Like, the other one's online co-op is a mess, to the point where, like you said in the previous episode, we have to play on console only now. That said, we are playing on console. Halo 3 online co-op works.
Yeah, I don't think we had a single issue. If we did, I don't remember it. Frame rate, solid. Like, Halo 2's biggest problem was that while the co-op worked for the most part, we had a couple hiccups. It was that frame rate. Like, that frame rate was just atrocious. And again, I don't understand how that happens, but Halo 3, I can comment on the PC version because, you know, Halo 3 is a soft spot for me. I wanted to check out the PC version. Didn't play it co-op, so I can't comment on that, but I did look up, you know, what are people saying, and nobody seems to have any complaints at all with the Halo 3 port to PC. So this is how it should be. This is how all of this should have been. But the fact that we are now four games in technically, and we're finally to a point to where, hey, yo, it works.
That's saddening on so many levels, man. Like, I just can't believe that's the thing.
And the HDR is really good, actually, in Halo 3. If you have an HDR TV, I'm rocking an OLED. They did a good job. Like, it is not a game that was built with HDR in mind. So it's definitely a, it's not fake. That's not what I want to say. But like, when a game is built with HDR in mind versus a tone mapping HDR, it's different. So this is somewhere in the middle. It definitely feels like they put some work into it. You know, like that plasma pistol glow it's got a special little glow to it. A lot of the Covenant weapons are usually not are fancy colors, like the Needlers, that very distinct purple color. Everything with the HDR definitely pops a little bit more, which is really cool to see on a game that's, again, over 10 years old now. So there's not a lot to say because it's good. You know, we don't have to sit here and try to understand what happened. It just works.
And my favorite thing is it's the end of the Flood. We don't see the Flood ever again. And the dead, right?
Halo Never Wars 2.
We did that already, so we're good. Never mind. Good.
Yeah, so like, yeah.
Did they come back? I don't want them to come back. Please
don't
come back.
No, they don't come back, but I'm trying to...
I hate the Flood so much.
I am like 98% sure they're in ODST, but I think it's only in one mission. but I could totally be making that up. So it's been a while since I've played that game. But
all right, call Chris for that mission. I'm taking a day off.
Well, luckily Halo 3's ODST is a shorter experience. So, but all right, so I think we've talked enough about it. I think we're pretty unanimous on this one. I say unanimous as if there's a plethora of opinions. But you should play this game. I think if you were to come to me and say, what Halo games should I play and which one should I skip? Halo 3 is a 100% got to play it. Got to play Halo 3.
Yeah, it's good business. It's out so far. It is peak Halo.
So before we get too far, I'm going to ask us a question. And it's a question that I don't want to say I'm shocked, but I'm a little, maybe I'm seeing the light. Were we too harsh on Halo Reach?
I don't want to play Halo Reach again.
But see, I think after playing Halo 1 and 2, granted, technical issues are a big part of it, which Halo Reach did not really have any. I think that's a better game than 1 and 2.
Oh, I will agree with that. I think it is a better game. How hard were we on it?
We passed on it, which I mean, looking back, it's after playing those first two games. And again, like Halo 3 doesn't have that problem of.
Know what? I'm standing by it. I remember now Halo Reach had a lot of the are we done yet feelings from it.
I think the missions were too long. I will agree with that. It felt like they were sort of stretching stretching the game too thin in terms of longevity's sake in an era where if your game was 6 hours long, it was trash kind of thing. But I don't remember there being a lot of repeating, a lot of feelings of I've done this before.
I will agree with that, but I feel like, if we passed on it, I'm going to stand by passing on it, honestly.
Okay. I was just curious, like because Halo Reach is that one where it's either I shouldn't say it's the only one that either you love it or hate it, because that's definitely not the case. But that one seems to be one of the more divisive ones of just like some people are like, this is by far the best one. There's a lot of people that are like, it's fine. Like I don't get the crazy, you know, fan fever over it. And that's kind of where I am. But looking back, I think I respect that game more, but I still think the issues on it are still. I think I like it more than 1 and 2, which is extremely surprising looking back, but I still think it's not even close to Halo 3. Like
I will agree with that. It's better than 1 and 2, but I feel like I passed on that for a reason. And if I had to go play it again, I probably wouldn't make it through, because I remember enough of those times of me just going, all right, we're still doing this one more time. All right.
There was definitely some of that.
Because even during one of the gameplay sequences, one of the characters mentioned like, all right, guys, just one more left. And I'm like, oh, so you know this is going long.
You're in on this. All right. I was just curious about what your thoughts were on that. So, but all right, that's going to do it for this episode. Microsoft, yo, it's cool that you're dropping day one games on Game Pass, but do they all got to be in the same day? There are four games that are going to be debuting on Game Pass five games that are going to be debuting on Game Pass relatively soon. So today marks the release of Flight Simulator. Thursday marks the release of, what's the game? Battletoads. Let me look it up here. Wasteland.
Look it up.
Wasteland 3. August 28th marks the release of Wasteland 3. September 1st is Crusader Kings 3, and then they surprise announced a indie game called, I had actually never heard of it, called Spiritfarer, was also a day one release today. So, this says August 30th for Battletoads. I don't believe that's true. This is great podcasting right now. Yeah, no, it's definitely August 20th. So that website was thrown. Good job, VG247. So we've got a lot of games to play. So at this point, It's either going to be Flight Simulator or Battletoads next week. Flight Simulator, obviously, is a much, much different game than basically anything. I mean, it's Flight Sim. So
that's not true. It's the same game as Mud Truckers.
I think you mean Mud Runners.
Same fact.
So next week will be Battletoads, but in terms of what comes out after that, it's kind of up in the air. But it'll either be Flight Simulator or that name, Spiritfarer. But then you've got Wasteland and Crusader Kings 3 right after that. So that's going to be on the docket. So I think at this point, it's fair to say we are never going to actually do that Dishonored 2 episode, are we?
You know what? Sneak peek, I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, so I bought that game the year it came out. Not for full price. I got it for like $30 and still haven't played it. So,
I mean, off air, we could talk about a bonus episode.
Maybe, yeah. So we've talked about maybe doing some bonus episodes for games that will never leave Game Pass that are maybe older, like a Forza Horizon 4, Killer Instinct, and stuff like that. But I mean, also time, like with Microsoft dropping a lot of these day one games, and a lot of them are not short. Wasteland is going to be a long game. Battletoads will probably be short. Flight Simulator obviously doesn't really have a progression or an end to it, but I think there's quite a bit to that game. And Crusader Kings, that's another one. That's going to be a long game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, and we'll go from there. But so next week will probably be Battletoads, and we will see you with on that day one games. And again, you can rate, please rate on all your favorite podcast services. You can email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. If you want to write in, tell us about some games that you've played on Game Pass, you want some suggestions, if you want an episode done on a certain game, whether you liked it, hate it, whatever, gpopfans@gmail.com. And I think that is going to do it, unless you have any hot takes on anything.
Oh, man, so many hot takes. Not enough time in this podcast to talk about them.
Well, all right, there you go. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next week with Battletoads.
Good day, sirs.